Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of What the Hal. And this one's kind of a serious episode because we're talking about the school shooting at Saugus High School in Santa Clarita, California. You know, if you don't know me, I've been around for a long time. I'm not going to go into the numbers of years, but I will tell you that I've covered so many of these stories going back to Columbine. I went to Columbine with a camera crew, and we covered that story. So the idea of a school shooting I have seen over and over again, sadly. And the people you're about to meet have been affected by the latest one at Saugus High School.
I'm Emily Canizero, and I'm a sophomore at Saugus High School.
I'm Mandy Eckelman, and I'm a sophomore at Saugus High School.
Hey, my name is Cassie Eckelman, and I'm a senior over at Saugus High School.
I'm Abby Canizero, and I'm also a senior at Saugus High School.
So, Abby, I'm gonna let you talk about what happened at Saugus High School.
Well, as everyone knows now, there was a shooting, and it was
on Thursday, November the 14th.
Yes, and it was very scary. It was one of the most terrifying things I think a person ever has to go through, and I think it's horrible that any of us actually had to go through it.
When you saw shootings over the years at Parkland in Florida or El Paso or wherever, did you ever think that it might end up in your backyard? Did you ever,
no.
Cassie, did you ever think?
I think part of us just growing up today where these things happen, I feel like we all know that this is a possibility. Like, I know at least among my friends and I, we tend to make a lot of school shooting jokes because that's just how we cope with things. But to actually be there and to actually experience a school shooting is so surreal and terrifying.
All right, explain that. Explain that. So you're in this situation. There's gunshots. You were in the quad. You were in the quad. Okay, you were in the quad. But let's go back to you. Explain that surreal part.
So the surreal part for me was I was in the back of campus. I was in a classroom. So I was so far away, I didn't even hear the gunshots. When we found out, it was because a teacher from next door ran into our room and said, "Lock the door. Something's happening in the quad." And so we got down, we barricaded the doors, we locked it, turned the lights off, all of those things that they teach you to do, and we just sat there and waited. And I think that's something that people don't realize about school shootings is how quiet they are.
Does it seem like it's going on forever and ever and ever?
Yeah, because we were sitting there in the dark, and it was probably about an hour and a half before the SWAT team or the sheriffs or whoever it was that cleared our classroom came in to escort us off of campus, and we were just sitting there in the dark.
That must have felt like a day and a half.
It felt so long.
Yeah. I mean, so what was that like for you?
So I was actually at my school table where me and my friends usually sit. And the first shot I heard, it sounded like someone popping a chip bag. And that happens all the time. Kids, you know, like, will eat chips. And as soon as the second shots rang out, I grabbed my stuff. I grabbed my friends. And we just ran out the back as fast as we could. And some of the back gate was open, but there were so many kids trying to get through. I had to jump, like, the fence and climb the railings. And it was just so chaotic.
Mandy, you climbed the fence. How tall is that fence?
I don't know height, but
it's definitely. How tall are you?
I'm like 5'4".
And was that fence taller than you? Like twice as high as you?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you got up there. You got up there because there was no other choice.
Right. And there was other kids jumping around me, like climbing up around me. And it was so crazy.
Emily, what was it like for you? You were in the quad.
Yeah, I was in the quad. I just think, you know, you have these drills all the time, but you never actually imagine that you're going to have to, like, think about what happened because you never imagine that it's going to happen to you. And I was in the quad. I heard the shots super loud, and you just saw this swarm of people, just a sea of people running, and you just kind of don't process what happens, and we all just dropped our stuff and we ran as fast as we could. Some of my friends sprinted off campus and I ran into the office, and then we barricaded ourselves in this other office.
So everybody understands the quad is like a courtyard.
Yeah.
Where kids gather in the morning, and then they go off to their classes, and then maybe during a break or at lunch they come back out, like, to an area like the quad and talk and visit until the bell rings and you know, so this is a place that, until that day, felt safe.
Yeah.
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 For sure.
Pick up on that, Mandy.
I think because Saugus, as a community, we're so close together. Me and my friends, we have been friends since kindergarten. And
yeah, I heard that you've been friends since you were 3 years old.
The four of us have been best friends.
Mm-hmm. And BFFs.
Yes. Yeah, we're practically family at this point. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And to happen, for this shooting to happen at Saugus, you just don't think it's going to happen at Saugus because everyone seems so family friendly and close.
But this was the shooter was somebody you all knew.
Yes.
And Cassie, you were friends with this kid who pulled the gun. What can you tell us about him, and what was your reaction when you found out it was him?
For the longest time, I didn't believe that it could have been him, because when it was all still happening and we were hearing names being thrown around and people kept saying, "Oh, Nathan," and I was like, I know a Nathan, but there's no way it could have been him. And someone, we were waiting in the gym to be escorted, and someone showed me a picture of the suspect, and it was the Nathan I knew. And I was like, there's no way, because this kid, he was involved in cross country. He had a solid group of friends. He had a girlfriend. He was smart. He kept his grades up. He was on the honor roll. Not at all the kid that you would immediately peg and be like, oh, yeah, him. He looks suspicious.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. You always have the stereotypical shooter that you think of, and Cassie's right. It wasn't at all Nathan.
He did show up, though, all in black. And he did show up, mm-hmm. at least according to the accounts that were given, to look like somebody with a backpack and in black, and somebody mm-hmm. who might have planned something like this. You're nodding your head, Emily.
A kid in black clothes and a backpack describes half of the high schoolers across the nation. Mm-hmm. Like,
for
that
sure.
In of itself isn't anything suspicious.
Yeah, you generally don't even think anything of it, which is why it's like when people explain to us, like, if you see anything, you need to report it.
Yeah, if you see something, say something.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's why lots of people don't say anything, because exactly like Cassie said.
But would he normally dress like that? A lot of people do. A lot of people dress in dark clothes.
Yeah, so, pretty much normally, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right. So that was normal for him.
Yeah.
But what the day was his birthday, and it wasn't normal at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you sit here and you think back to that day, and what goes through your mind?
What goes through my mind is a lot of panic and fear, because I was honestly not worried about myself, because once I was in that lockdown room, I knew I was safe. But my friends who ran off campus, I had no idea where they were. And Mandy and Cassie and Abby, like, I didn't know where they were. And all these thoughts, like, just raced through my mind, like, the worst possibilities and outcomes. And I saw them, like, carry people out through gurneys. And I was like, oh, I pray that that's not anyone I know. And even for those people that I don't know them, it's still horrible.
Did you know the two kids that died?
Yes. I knew the boy.
And so what is that? What's that like for you?
It's shocking. I knew him in junior high, and we weren't close friends, but we were classmates. And we always had an inside joke with each other about our ceramics class. And when I heard it was the boy, and I saw the pictures going around, I was like, him? It was so devastating, because he was such a gentle, smart, kind kid who his life was stripped away.
I gotta tell you, you guys sound like grown-ups. Did you suddenly feel like you grew up all of a sudden when this happened, did you?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It really feels like it. For me personally, you can't act like a child in this type of situation. You have to keep a steady head on your shoulders and think, okay, what have we learned? What was the drills? And we had to immediately put that into action.
And so there are three words, and the words are run,
hide, and fight.
Run, mm-hmm. hide, and fight. And so that gets drilled into your head during some of these mm-hmm. active shooter drills. And so when this happened, did you think run, hide, fight? Did you think that?
I don't know if we consciously thought about it, because those are all such instinctual things.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
If there's gunshots, I'm going to run. Yeah. And if I can't run, I'm going to hide and protect myself the best I can. Mm-hmm.
But if you couldn't hide and somebody was coming your way, how would you have fought them?
I don't even know. I think it's impossible to tell unless you're put in that situation.
I mean, let me tell you, and I think you're right, but I've thought about this, and I'm kind of a wimp.
Yeah.
You're agreeing with me? I'm kind of a wimp, but I don't know that I could fight. Yeah. I mean, I could run the other way. Yeah. I know I could do that. But fighting, that's I guess you'd have to grab something and just hit somebody mm-hmm. with it, yeah. hoping that you'd subdue them. I notice all of you are wearing school colors. You've got your fingernails painted.
Yes.
Yeah. You've got your T-shirts that say Saga Strong.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you've got ribbons. What is it, gold and blue? Is that the school color?
It's orange and blue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The mascot is the
Centurions.
The Centurions. Mm-hmm. So, you know, now it's kind of a healing period.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so what happens now?
It has been really, I feel, more difficult. The healing is a lot more difficult than the actual moment because you're filled with adrenaline and all that. And now you're just, it's coming all back to reality and you realize what actually happened. And now you get all of the facts, which you didn't have before. And it all sinks in and it's just becoming really real and it's a lot more difficult.
It's a lot to handle.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this, and I'll let you pick it up. No.
A giant part of the healing process is community. Mm-hmm. When it first happened, I did not want to see my friends, even though I was so scared. I felt like I didn't. I just wanted to stay at home. But going out and seeing my track friends, seeing my close friends was really healing. And just knowing that they're okay and giving them hugs was really, is therapeutic.
And that's short term. And so, you know, I wonder if you guys have thought about the idea that this is a long-term experience.
Yeah.
You'll live with this forever, won't you?
Yeah.
Yes.
You can't, I don't think it's ever possible to forget what happened that day.
No, for sure. No one will forget it. And I think it's good and bad. It's horrible what happened, but we all learned like something and we grew up and, I don't know. I feel like all of us have a sense of reality now. And
but you remember Parkland, the one
yeah.
in Florida.
Uh-huh.
And you remember some of these other ones that occurred.
Yeah.
And so now it's your turn. Mm-hmm. And how do you put that in perspective? How do you square that sort of a thought?
It feels insane to be put on the level of Parkland and Borderline and Columbine because mm-hmm. I remember learning about those, and I'm like, wow, like that's like a legit historical event.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
I never felt that like my small town, even though we're not actually that small, but my yeah. small town could be such a big part of history.
Yeah.
And it's
Santa Clarita, by the way, is the third yeah. largest city mm-hmm. in yeah. L.A. County.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah.
it's not that small.
Yeah.
I've covered, and I've told you this, I've covered five of these things. I mm-hmm. went to Columbine when it happened, and I covered that story. I went to San Bernardino when that happened, and I covered that story. Not all are school shootings.
Yeah.
Some are other kinds of mass casualty mm-hmm. shootings. Mm-hmm. I covered Borderline. I covered Saugus. And I covered Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And that was also, and I think in all, that was also terrible. But I think in all of these cases, one thing that we find is that people come together.
Yes. Yeah.
And how important is that? Let's start with you, Abby.
It's so important in times like these that we remember that community is everything. And we have to take this time to be with our loved ones. And whether that be friends or family, we cannot isolate ourselves. I know personally the day after, it was more impactful than the day of because you realize, wow, I could have been lost. And that's just really scary to think about.
So the tears still happen.
Yes.
And the emotion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are you feeling there? What are you thinking about?
I don't know. I'm just really grateful that I'm able to be here. And my sympathies go out to all the families that don't get to be in the position that I am right now.
You're all nodding.
Yeah.
Cassie.
I think part of the thing that I was unprepared for was that the fact that the emotion would come in waves, because the day of, I was in shock. And for a little period after, I was just heartbroken, I think, and just so sad. And I expected that sadness. But what I wasn't prepared for was the anger. Not at the shooter, not as his family, but at the situation and the fact that we're children and we have to go through this.
That's
and
we
have to, yeah, we have to live with this for the rest of our lives. And it's not fair. And right now I'm still dealing with that anger, and it's hard to like know what's coming emotionally because there's no playbook for this. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mandy. Exactly. Well, I mean, you know, it's like, what do you say, right? I mean, it's they're right. I mean, there is no playbook for this. There's no school shooting for dummies, right?
Yeah. Yeah. When it first happened, the second day, I just felt empty. I didn't know what to feel, and I was just like, I just kind of was there. And back to what I was saying earlier, being with people is so good. It's even more healing to be with your friends who is through that more than your family, almost, because you're in this together. So Sog is strong.
You know, I'm much older than all of you. and you know, when I go to class reunions, we talk about the good old days.
Yeah.
What do you think those class reunions are going to be like someday, Emily?
I think it's just going to be I'm happy you're here because some of us couldn't make it. And I think it just breaks my heart because I know that community is a big part of how I have been able to cope. And even though I don't know what to feel, everyone has been telling me that's okay. And I know that there are some people that don't have anyone to turn to. And that's what really breaks my heart, is some people are lost right now. And I really hope that they know that they find someone to talk to.
Do you guys always feel like you're kind of on the edge of tears?
Yeah.
Do you?
I feel like we try to hide it with like laughter and jokes, but it always comes back to, wow, this happened.
And you knew the two that died.
Yes.
And you knew the suspect. Mm-hmm. And you've lived the story. Mm-hmm. And what's the bottom line? Anybody want to sort of sum it up for us? I mean, this will be with you.
Yeah. I feel like the bottom line, there's something, I feel like in every generation, there's always something big that happens. And we all learn from it, and I think it always brings us together in the end. And to know, to be there for the people that you love and who love you, just to be there for everyone and try not to make people hurt, I guess.
We're all nodding our heads, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what, kind of like Emily said, what it really comes down to is not the events that happened on November 14th, as heartbreaking and chaotic as they were, but what we became from it and how we responded, because mm-hmm. that really shows who we are as people and who we are as a community.
Yeah.
Just elaborate on that. What became of it?
I think one of the things that became of it is just this outpouring of love. Like, we have people from all over the country talking mm-hmm. to us like, hey, I saw what happened. I support you. I love you. You got this. Mm-hmm. And it's a thing of like barriers breaking down, because something on SWIM that we talk about a lot is this concept of tribe and how you and your tribe get together, like, and you persevere through trauma and hard things. And we never thought that this would be something that we would have to, you know, go through. But I'm so glad that we, especially on like our teams and our school, we already place such an emphasis on community that we already have those connections to fall back on in times of trauma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's really important that, for me, it was really impactful when I first came out of the house and went by the school. There was banners up, and there was tens and thousands of signatures on these banners.
What do the banners say?
They say Song is Strong, and there's one with like a big heart on it. Mm-hmm. And it was at one of the it was at one of the football games, and all the students there, they signed it and wrote such nice messages for us, and that for me really showed to me that, wow, the community is here for us. We're not alone, and I think that's important to emphasize. None of us are alone. We always have a hand to reach out to.
Mm-hmm. I think it hits us so hard every time we walk past one of those banners, every time we see that heart, the light of hearts on the big S, every time someone, a stranger, reaches out and gives us a hug. I think it just makes us comforted, and to know that there are people who care about us more than anything in the world.
People really lower their guards when this mm-hmm. stuff kind of happens. Like, some girls who are really, really, sometimes when girls are insecure, they'll put up a front. Mm-hmm. And that I usually, some girls I wouldn't usually get along with because, I don't know, our personalities sometimes just don't match. Their guards come down and I will just hug them and I'll cry with them because we're centurions and we're together.
Can I give you all a big group hug?
Sure.
Like that? Yes. You, a big hug? Okay.
Yeah.
You can't see this, folks, but we're doing a big group hug right
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay, great. The community coming together. Maybe that's why they're calling it Saugus Strong. Well, Santa Clarita always has been a tight-knit community, and now it's even perhaps tighter knit. What about the parents? What about the teachers? We talk to them now. So let's introduce ourselves here.
Hi, I'm Kelly Canizero.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Dave Eckelman.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Eckelman.
And I'm David Stradling.
David, you're a teacher at the school. You teach biology. You teach marine sciences. And it was marine studies that you were working on that period, that morning, when this all happened.
Correct.
Walk us through it.
Grades are coming up, and so I put the kids on an assignment so I could go get some missing work done. Towards the end of the period, it ends at 7:52, and I just got to my desk, and at 7:38, we heard a first pop. Where my room is, it has great acoustics, and so if someone jumps on a milk carton or something like that, it sounds similar. And then there were multiple pops after that, and I distinctly remember looking up at one of my students and looking in their face and kind of the shock. And we have a lock block. It keeps our doors open, and if you pull it, it allows your doors to lock. And so for me, I call that the plug, and I told my corner student, pull the plug. I'm not sure what's happening now. And they did, and so I got up from there, went to the door. I don't have windows low. My windows are above the doors, and so I can't look out unless I open the door. But I have a pretty good leeway of area to look through. So I looked out the door. At that point, there were no more shots, but I could hear some screaming out there. But no one came by that way. So I closed that door and went to my back door and opened that up. And there I saw a student yelling at me, please let me in. And she came running into my room. She had tried to get in another room, but it was already closed. Once we closed the doors, we really can't open them.
You're not supposed to.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as she got in, I saw two other students actually going down a way that would have taken them to the quad. And I yelled at them, no, 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 you need to come this direction, in here. And so we got them in, and at that point, we closed those doors.
But you didn't know at that point whether the shooter was running down hallways or isolated to the quad.
No, I have – where I am, you have no idea what's going on.
And one of the things I think you're supposed to do is you're supposed to shut the doors, barricade them, and if somebody knocks on the door, not be so quick to want to open it up because it might be the shooter.
Right. We're really not supposed to open those doors again. That's a little bit of leeway to the teacher, right? What do you feel comfortable with? For me, I felt comfortable because I knew how far I could see that I could – every once in a while, take a look out. Do I see anything? Is anything happening? Am I seeing police officers coming by? Am I seeing anything else? At one point, there were rumors that there was a shooter and he was running to different spots. At that point, I had just peeked out the door and the sheriff's helicopter was low hover over and circling over Saugus High. And I closed the door and said, he's not anywhere else. He has to be here or that helicopter would not be here.
Right. So active shooter drills are done in workplaces, they're done in schools, they're done in all kinds of places. We have them here at Fox 11. And the idea behind it is so if something were to happen, you know what to do. You know you're supposed to first run, going to hide, and then if that's not going to work, if the guy's coming at you, you got to find some way to fight. Dave, right? What is it? Dave, okay.
Yes.
How would you deal with that?
I mean, at work or
yeah. How would you deal with that run, fight, hide? I know run the other way and get as far away as I could.
Yeah, I mean the first instinct for me is to obviously it would be to grab any kids, loved ones, people with me, and flee. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's part of the amazing thing when you think about the sheriff's department, firefighters, people like that. Medical personnel, first responders, they run to the danger. And that's so impressive to me. It's pretty amazing. Yeah, my first instinct would be to actually, is honestly, is just to kind of take off and go.
So let me ask you and your wife, when you heard about this, what was your reaction? What did you do? Who's going to flip the coin here?
Me. So I got the phone call from my youngest, and I was just praying that she was wrong. It didn't matter. I was going to still go get her, but I was really hoping she was wrong. And so I jumped in the car, and I raced down there, and I had people around me going to school and fixing their hair and talking to the crossing guard, and I just needed them to get out of the way so I could get my daughter. And I ran, or I got the car, got there, and I got her, and there was another kid with her. I said, get in the car now. Where is your sister? And she said, in class. And I said, I have to leave with you and your friend and leave my other kid at school. But I had to take care of the one that I had with me, praying to God that the other ones were taken care of and that she'd be okay. And eventually she texted. But I will tell you, once I got the other one home, there wasn't as much of a flea in me. It was more of a, could I get on campus and get her myself? Because nobody's going to stop me, you know? So
you were determined.
I was, yeah. I was really ready to get her one way or another. If I could sneak on campus and have nobody find me, yeah.
Well, all of us that are parents, I have three kids that are grown up now, but you know, we all understand.
Yeah.
We all worry when we send the kids off that something could happen, and we see evidence that it does, not once, not twice, but over and over again. And so, Kelly, what was your experience with your daughters?
I had just dropped my youngest off at school, and I was driving to work, and I was sitting at a stoplight, and then every sheriff's department vehicle was just rushing past me in front, and I'm going, what is going on? My husband is an LA County firefighter, so I called him because I knew he would be leaving work, and I said, hey, what's going on? Have you heard anything on the scanner? And then my heart's beating so fast. And then I got a phone call from a friend who said, well, no, then I texted both my daughters. And I texted David, who's sitting over there, because I knew he was at this school.
Their teacher.
And I just got back. I said, what's going on there? And then the message I got back was, shots fired. And then I thought, how am I going to get, oh my goodness. And then 2 seconds later, my friend called to say that her daughter and my daughter were together, and they got separated, and her daughter was okay and across the street, but she didn't know where my daughter was. Could she? Have you heard from her? And I had not. My older one texted me back. Well, when I got that phone call, my hands just went like numb. They just were tingling, and I thought, I had seen all the sheriff's department vehicles going there, and I was far enough away that I thought, okay, I'm not going home because no one's there and I don't want to be by myself. I know I won't get anywhere near the school. And the actual sad thing that went through my mind is that, well, I'm going to go to work, number one, because people are there. Number two, because if the worst happens, I work at the church and it's right across from the hospital. So when I got there, somehow I made it there, and then I sat in my office just beside myself for, I don't even know, 10 minutes. I don't know how long it was. And I called my husband, and I was just like, you know, and I had been texting with Abby, the older one. And I just was like, well, I don't know. Does she have her phone? She leaves her phone at home a lot. And then finally a call rang through from a number that I did not know. And it was her. And it was just, it was like, I can't even describe how it was just such relief. And I was just like, oh, thank God, are you okay? And she said she was in the park. And I immediately wanted to know, are there people with guns there? You know, is someone there who's going to keep you safe? Because I can't, you know, I can't be there. And anyway, my husband ended up coming home and he picked them up. And then, yeah, it was
a long day.
It was.
You know, we heard from your daughters, mm-hmm. and we heard from your daughters. And very articulate, and really expressing a lot of what happened. I think it was Abby that actually broke into tears as we were talking because it was starting to come back. In many ways, talking is good, though, isn't it? Talking is cathartic.
Yes.
Would you agree?
Yes, definitely.
And you feel that, you know, they're doing all the right things to be able to get back to what could be a sense of normalcy? I mean, how do you get there?
This
will
know.
Always
we're,
be in the back of their minds, right?
We're just trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know. I mean, I invited my group of friends to my house last night just to be together and talk, and I just lean on each other. That's all we can do.
We're recording this before Thanksgiving, and I'm betting this Thanksgiving is going to be a lot to be thankful for.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
David?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you talked normal, and I was talking to some students that came back to pick up their backpacks, and they were talking about getting back to normal, and I said, the normal of November 13th is gone. That doesn't exist anymore. There will be some new normal, but we don't know what that looks like, I don't think, yet. It'll take a while before we know what normal is, but there's no way that November 14th didn't change your life forever.
In many ways, 11/14 is probably like 9/11 for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a number that will stay there indelibly in your mind. And I guess that, you know, the job now is to kind of get back to trying to have an education, mm-hmm. trying to have some kind of sensibilities about life being okay and not always having to look over your shoulders. Is that kind of right, would you say? Dave, you want to take a shot at that?
Yeah, and I mean, I think you were saying it before, like, I don't know what the new normal is. And as parents, I feel like we're trying to work through that ourselves and just be physically present in and around the kids right now and being around them, you know, with their friends, you know, with us as their family. Just have that presence there to try to get that sense of normalcy back, that we're here, even if they're off doing things with their friends, that we're just here. And, you know, when we were talking before about that day, that morning, you know, I got the call from Stephanie. I was, you know, about, you know, leaving for work. You know, I got the call and, you know, I just wanted, because they were at school, like, I just wanted to lay eyes on them. And there's a good chance I probably, you know, had some traffic infractions on the way over to the there's a high probability there were some traffic infractions on the way over, but just I had to physically see them and I wanted them to see me, and that was really important to me, that they could, you know, have that connection.
You're wearing a shirt that says Saga Strong. Your wife is wearing a shirt that says Centurion, which is the mascot, and then Dave, you're wearing ribbons, and all of you are wearing your feelings as well. And so what is that, wearing your feelings?
Well, sometimes I'm just overwhelmed and just so touched and by the outpouring of love and support from our community. Sometimes I'm sad because I'm sad for the families who didn't get the phone call that I got on Thursday morning. And I'm sad that, and then I guess just mad because now my kids had to go through this.
And they have to live with it.
And yeah, and their friends had to go through that. And so, yeah, those kind of cycle through.
Do you think that the counseling is going to be important?
Yes, I've already reached out to someone.
So that's not just for the kids, for you too?
Yes.
Yeah,
I would imagine. I would like it to be all of us together.
That would make sense. Is that something in your family that you're also looking to do?
Yeah, at the moment, what we're concentrating on for the girls is that they are connecting with their friends. Because mm-hmm. right now, the adults keep wanting to help, but the adults weren't there in the same way they were. And so having them share with each other, having them talk to each other, having them reveal their emotions and letting their guards down. I mean, they were just saying to me the other day how it's amazing some of the kids that occasionally are trying to be fake with each other are not fake right now. The walls are all down. They're all honest with each other and helping each other in ways that adults can't quite yet And so mm-hmm. I think bringing people in, bringing adults in to help them is fantastic. But we also need to try to make sure we help them have that time to connect and heal each other.
And David, what's it going to be like going forward?
Yeah, it's going to be hard. I'm trying to be the role model, right? I've cried with kids today. You know, Thursday we have a training.
Today students came back to school to get their backpacks and all their different things like that.
And yeah,
and so they were all in your room. I mean, they left all that stuff behind. Today right. They came back. There was a skateboard in your room. There were purses. There were backpacks.
Yeah, all their stuff. And I took a picture of some of them that kind of made me laugh. Someone doing homework from another class in my class. I thought it was pretty funny. Actually, I probably knew at the time anyway. But, you know, just things that made it funny for me. But when they came in to see them and let them know that it's okay to cry. There will be a lot of tears. It's okay to laugh. One of the things that we say is how you feel is how you feel, and that's okay. Someone asked me, are you going to get help? And I said, yes. So Thursday, we have a training for teachers. At that point, I will have been through what I need to go through to go now talk to somebody and say, okay, now I know where I'm at, so let's have a chat.
Do you think you'll be looking for counseling as well?
Absolutely. I think every teacher. If you were a police officer on our campus, you probably have to go through something mandated. I think that personally every teacher should go through, sit down for 15 minutes and talk.
You know, that how you feel is how you feel is very much like it is what it is. I mean, it's just one of those phrases that sort of catches it all and captures it all. And I guess I'd like to ask each of you for a bottom line, sort of a final thought as you kind of think about what was and what will be. And why don't we start with Kelly?
I am thankful. And I just one day at a time. That's kind of my mantra right now. One day at a time.
So one day at a time. It is what it is. And how you feel is how you feel. What about you guys?
Yeah, I mean, right now, I don't know if I have a good catchphrase like my colleagues, but right now I'm very just focused on Cassie, Mandy, and the girls and their friends, and kind of trying to be very flexible, emotionally flexible, to be what they need.
It did change lives, though. I mean,
absolutely.
You were, before it happened, you were Dave a certain way, mm-hmm. and afterwards it was Dave walking on eggshells. Wasn't it? Because you had to be careful of the kids' feelings. You had to be careful of your own feelings, your wife's feelings, your feelings.
Right.
It changed.
Yeah, and there's a certain thing of, you know, trying to, as a parent, trying to figure out, like, how to act. Like, you know, like Dave Stradling said, it was like, you know, you feel what you feel. But then, you know, on the other hand, you know, as a dad, I'm like, you know, I'm trying to be strong and solid and consistent.
Saga strong
and solid and consistent, but inside I'm not, and you know, and I'm kind of broken, and at what point is that okay too? Because I'm telling them, it's like, look, it's okay to have feelings. So I'm like, okay, I need to also be okay.
Yeah, you're hurting
that.
Too.
Be with that as a you know, as a dad and as a parent. And so that's it's an interesting sort of conflicting thing going on right now, is sort of like, as a parent, like, how do you act?
Yeah,
like, what do you do? And so that's somewhere I think we're all working through right now.
Yeah, you have answers for that, Stephanie?
Answers, yeah, not necessarily. At the moment, I think the thing I'm trying to take away from this is to spend as much time with my kids that I can, and to listen to them in ways that I don't always do, and make sure that they are a priority, and I don't get caught up in day to day when they need me now.
David.
I got into this profession because of the kids, not because of the subject I teach. And for me, to make sure I see every kid in my class, make sure I really see every kid in my class, to let them know that they're not a test score, they're not a homework assignment, and they're not a grade, that, you know, I truly do love them for who they are.
And I'm sure that's the case for many other teachers as well. Bottom line is, teachers, students, administrators all found themselves in a very dangerous place on Thursday, November the 14th, something they will never forget. Thanks for joining us. See you next time on What the Hell.